Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now, my next guest has just published a book that promises to answer 35 of the most asked questions managers in business might have. Anne Marché-Oud is a communications expert, and she's the founder of The Behaviour Company based in Amsterdam. Her new book, What to Do If, is just published. Anne Marché, you're very welcome to the programme.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Bobby.
This is a good book. It's 35, I suppose, questions that are asked, and a lot of them may be slightly difficult questions, and you sort of give it very succinctly. You give clear number of answers to each predicament. Maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself, Anne Marché, and then we'll get into the minutiae of the book.
Well, thank you so much. Well, I'm based in Amsterdam, so I'm Dutch from origin, but I've been working internationally almost 23 years now, as you already said, with The Behaviour Company. And I'm very fortunate to meet very different people, very different companies. And I realized that more and more there was a theme that I heard wherever I came, and then people had these questions. And I really want them to have tangible, practical things that they could do regarding those questions, because sometimes people want help and they don't want to go and pick up on science or read into full reports, but they just want to pick up on something. And that's why I wrote this book.
Yeah. Now, before we get into the minutiae of it, am I right in saying that you've been trained by the FBI and that you're an expert on body language?
I am an expert on body language, and I was trained by Joe Navarro, a former FBI agent who is also one of the founders of the behavioral analysis program of the FBI. He's retired now, but I was very fortunate to work with him for, well, almost 5 years and still counting. And he's taught me so many things, as you can imagine, that the FBI knows how to work with people. At least in those days, that was really helpful for them to create a behavioral analysis program. And I'm very fortunate that he learned me many things, mostly about nonverbal communication, because right. He's a body language expert number one in the world about that. And he wrote many books as well about that.
The book intro talks about, have you ever wondered how to avoid hiring toxic people or how to understand people's nonverbal cues? Are you unsure of what to do if somebody starts crying? Let's look at those three.
Yeah, let's start with the crying one then, because for me, that was very striking that was a question that came up the most. That could either be that people start crying themselves, being very vulnerable and feeling uncomfortable, like, oh, I'm showing tears now, I don't want to do that. But also managers and leaders who are startled when it happens and then somebody's across from you and they, you see a slow tear falling down the face or full-on crying. And then they feel this shock, like, what do I have to do now when that happens? So that's a question that a lot of people have.
And what are you suggesting as an answer? Or is there, I presume there's no clear-cut answer. It probably just depends on, I suppose, why the person is crying, how severe the incident or otherwise is. But what is your advice to people to deal with it?
Well, context is key, of course, and every situation is different. But what we do see is that if people are emotional, we tend to get away from it. We don't like that. We like to be comfortable around others. And if somebody's crying, we almost see that as a very complicated situation. And therefore, what people start doing are the things that not always are very effective. So they might go away and say, oh, we'll get you some water. Or they just ask questions like, what are you thinking right now? What's happening right now? But in essence, what you have to do is leave some room for that emotion so people can just cry for a bit, depending on the situation, of course, and get that emotion out of the way. Because if you try to hold it back or you try to fix it, it might even get worse. So just leaving room for crying is a perfect idea.
What if you join them crying?
That, depending on the context, that could be even a very good thing, because it shows then that you're empathetic and that you have empathy, for the situation. However, we, in my line of business, we also call it emotion stealing. So a few tears might be showing that you care, but if you full on take over the emotion, you might not be effective anymore. And then it's all about your emotion and not about the emotion of the other person. So limited crying.
Okay. Now, hiring toxic people, nobody wants to do it. So how do you avoid it? And again, you've got some, I love the way that, you know, that each, the book is divided into five sections and each question has seven questions. It's a very clear and direct way of doing it. So tell us about toxicity.
Yeah, it's every question has five strategies to help people that they can choose from. So when we come to toxic personalities, one of the things that stand out, and sometimes you might say, yeah, we all know this, but sadly not everybody does this, is really doing your due diligence, not just looking at some resume or talking to a former boss of this person, but also try to get a hold of colleagues. What was this person like at the daily job? And depending on what kind of job they ask for, of course, not a lot of people do that. They ask sometimes the manager, like, how was this person? But they don't ask colleagues. And I also am a very, very firm believer of asking about behavioral questions. So not just what did you do? And then they describe how they approached things, but even going more into behavior and making it very specific, like, can you give sentences and can you be very specific about how you approached it? And the other thing, of course, focusing on the nonverbal communication, because we can read so much into nonverbal communication and people tend to just listen to the content and not look at the person in front of them, because there are very many signals that sometimes are missed.
And when you're looking at somebody, say in an interview situation, and you're trying to decide, is this person potentially toxic or not, what kind of body language things should you be looking out for?
For me, eye contact is very important, as well as how much space they're taking up. And it's always combined, of course, with content. So for instance, if you ask them something about their former colleagues, I try to look at the expression of their face and also listen to the words. So for instance, with narcissists, they always have the tendency to put others down. So if you ask them a question on how somebody might have failed, and you can look at how they respond to that, but also what they do, for instance, with their lips or their eyes. So for instance, if there's this smirk, I can't show it to you now because we're not on video. But if, you know, we always say when the lips disappear, trouble might be near. That's one of the things that Joe Navarro taught me. But you can also see, like, what is happening in the face, in the grimace of the face. Are they is the eye contact kind of soft, or is there more anger behind it?
Is there body language that tells you that somebody's lying?
No, sadly, that's a myth that is out there that we're all fighting very, very hard. We always say if somebody says, yes, I can teach you how to spot liars, then they themselves actually lie. There's not one single behavior indicative of lying. We always have to look at many, many things.
I'm going to give you one now that isn't in the book. It's one that I've had to deal with a few times over my career. And I really empathize with anybody who has to deal with this. And it's, if somebody has bad hygiene and they bring a bad odor to the office or to the work environment, and they have to be told, terribly difficult conversation, how do you suggest handling it?
Yeah, that's a difficult situation indeed. And I will tell you the story that I was hired even by a company to do this. So first I discussed this with the company, because the fact that they didn't dare to do this already says about how people steer away from uncomfortable situations. And the sad part was that you did see it in the behavior amongst peers, because they were gossiping about this person or, you know, kind of ignoring this person. And when we had the talk, and I will tell you in a second how I approached it, but after we had the talk, this person was so happy because he could change the behavior, in this case, taking more care of his hygiene. But he also said, I'm so glad you told me, because I think now I understand why I felt that people were avoiding me. And that's awful, because what is needed is that you do this not as a oh, I'm going to confront you because you're wrong or you're bad or something negative. No, I'm doing this because I want to help you. And if you can state it factually, saying this has been brought to my attention, or if you have it yourself, like this is a bit of a difficult conversation, but I'm here to help you. Because to be honest, your body odor is a bit intense. And for me personally, I feel that it affects me and that I kind of walk away from you, and I want to have great conversations. So I would suggest that you use a bit more deodorant, for instance. So you say what needs to be addressed. You say what the effect is, and you help them come up with a solution.
Yeah. Well, thank you for answering that. I think that was a very succinct and logical answer.
How did you do it?
Well, I remember on one occasion the person denied it to me, which made it even they refused to accept it. That was even more difficult. I did it a number of times over my career because it's something I believe that I do rather than ask someone else to do. Very difficult conversation.
But it's uncomfortable. That's why people avoid it, because they're uncomfortable situations. But if you know you can help somebody, that might be
a good goal. Well, look, it's a great book. It's a great read. It's right on the money for me because it's direct. It's unambiguous. The book is called What to Do If. The author is Anne Majeoud. And thank you for joining us, Anne. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.